We are wrapping up. Next week we'll wrap up, so we're nearing completion of a series we've been going through for the last several weeks. Five excuses that Moses gave in the book of Exodus for why he should not do the thing God was calling him to do. And we've called it, "What's Your Excuse?" Because all five excuses that Moses gave are excuses that we give too. And we probably have a little more inclination towards one or another. I probably lean on the one where Reggie preached about, like that said, "I'm inadequate." Here's the list: I'm inadequate. I have this imposter syndrome. Like, I don't have what it takes to do the thing that I'm called to do. So don't call me; call somebody else. I don't know enough. Here's another one: I don't know. What if somebody asks a question I don't know the answer to? I probably just ought not go out there. I better not talk to people. There's another one: people won't take me seriously, or people will doubt me. That's what we talked about last week. Doubt's a driver for me. Yeah, doubt me. I doubt that I won't do that. I'm going to do it, okay? That's a driver for me, but for other people, it might not be. Might put them aside. Here's this one we're talking about today: is I'm no good with words, or I don't talk good. I don't speak well. I don't have the eloquency that people have. And then the last one that we're going to talk about is I just don't want to. I don't want to. I don't know what happened, but I had inspiration this morning, and I wrote that sermon this morning, or most of it. I can't wait to preach that one now. I wish we could do it now instead. But I'm not going to. I'm not going to get ahead of myself. So this week, we're talking about this fourth one. I'm no good with words. I don't have a good fluency of language. I don't speak well in public. So that's the thing we're talking about today. And I've tried to share with you stories of my own journey with each one of those excuses that we had on there. All of those things have been a problem for me except the one today. Like, I can talk. Okay, I can talk a lot, all right? Talking was the reason why I got in trouble in school. Like, if I were to get in trouble in school, you can guarantee it's because I was talking too much. Get sent to the office, talking too much. Get demerits, talking too much. Talking got me my first job. You know, I was able to convince them to hire me. Talking gave me the opportunity to preach sermons, okay? I can do this now. The first pastor I worked with, I had no training in preaching. He's like, "Hey, do you want to preach?" Sure, yeah, I can talk. I was so nervous that first time, but after a while, you kind of get used to it. We were talking about this earlier. Like, I kind of don't even get nervous anymore. Come up, preach in front of people. Doesn't really bother me anymore. Talking put me in a position to help others. As you might imagine, as a pastor, I tend to do funerals. I'm like the family funeral guy now. So like all the family, if we have somebody who dies in the family, I get called, I do the funeral for it. And my uncle said, I think for the most recent one, he told my dad, he goes, "He has a way with words. Like, I don't know if it's good, but I do have a way with words. I can do words." So for me, that's actually my ability to speak. I can speak, which I work on and I hone. But it's brought me blessing and it's brought me trouble too. Because if I don't control it, it can cause me harm and it can cause you harm too. Because my ability to speak is the way I go on the offensive as well. So it can cause problems. The words that I use can bring you blessing, and it can bring you harm, too. I get in trouble because I talk too much, I speak too much. Moses, on the other hand, got in trouble when he chose not to speak. That was when he got in trouble. One commentator suggested that God directed Moses to speak 70 times throughout his life in the recorded narrative of Moses. 70 times God said, "Go speak." God wanted Moses to use his voice, but for Moses, he was using a speech impediment of some sort as an excuse to not do what God was calling him to do. Let's hear from Moses himself. This is Exodus chapter 4, verse 10, and we're going to go to verse 17. It says, "But Moses said to the Lord, 'Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and tongue.' Then the Lord said to him, 'Who has made man's mouth? What makes him mute Or who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I'll be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. But he said, Oh my Lord, please send somebody else. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. Behold, he's coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you both what to do. He shall speak for you to the people, and he shall be your mouth, and you shall be as God to him. And take in your hand this staff with which you shall do the signs. That's the staff. I think last week we talked about cast your staff, your crutch down, the thing you're leaning on. So we're going to start with Moses' excuse before we talk about God's response. He says, Oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I'm slow of speech and tongue. I find that interesting because he puts like time qualifications on it. He's like, I've not been eloquent in the past or since you and I started talking to each other. So God, you know I'm not good at this talking thing. And he's quite right because prior to this moment, we have no record of monologues for Moses. Like, he has not been doing speeches. He's not out there talking to anybody. Even though later on, there's plenty of records of Moses giving monologue-type sermons. You know, he's giving longer speeches later on. But up to this point, there was no record of him speaking. So he's like, hey, look, you know I don't do this talking thing. And maybe it's because he didn't need to because he wasn't leading anybody. But maybe it was because he had a legitimate issue with his speech. So here's Moses' claim. I am not eloquent, I am slow of speech, and I'm slow of tongue. And many have surmised that those things to be a stutter, that he had some sort of stutter. But that theory is being debunked these days. And here's why. It's because of the word used there is kabed. Kabed, that's a Hebrew word that's being just translated as slow. Kabed. And it means great or grievous, heavy or burdensome. Heavy is probably the best way to put it. He had heavy speech. And here's what's cool, is the same word is used in Exodus 17. If you remember the story where the Israelites are fighting the Amalekites, and Moses has his arms up. And every time he keeps his arms up, the Israelites are winning. But when he drops them, the Amalekites start winning. They start losing in the battle. So then over time, his arms got heavy, kabed, they were heavy, so they propped him up, and they gave him two guys on each side, hold him up, and then they leaned him up against stones. So, you know, can you imagine a whole day of holding your arms up? It gets heavy. Try to do it for just 5 minutes. Don't do it now, but you know what I'm talking about. It gets heavy. So they provide him with something to prop his arms up. The solution they had for him was the same solution God has for Moses about this. We'll get to that in a minute. His speech probably wasn't stuttered. Rather, it was heavy. It was labored. The chances are pretty good that he might have had a lisp and he couldn't pronounce things very well. Or maybe he just didn't speak Egyptian very well. His speech to the Pharaoh might have been labored because he couldn't speak the language well. Or maybe he just didn't think well of himself for public speaking. Don't put me in front of a crowd. I don't want to talk in front of everybody. Jerry Seinfeld has noted that the number one fear of all people is public speaking, followed closely by the number two fear, which is death. So if you're at a funeral, you can know that most people would rather be in the casket than behind the podium. People don't like to speak in public. So no matter what his impediment was, Moses was impeded from doing what God wanted him to do. And how many of us have said, I can't talk in public? Go ahead, let's see those hands. Yeah. How many of us have said, I can't speak in public? I can't talk good, God. I can't do it. I can't speak well. congratulations, those of you who raised your hand, you're just like Moses. Good for you. But I don't think this is just about public speaking. This isn't only about that. There's a greater principle at play here. Why did God choose Moses to be the one to have to talk to the most powerful man in the world, Pharaoh? Why would God choose somebody who God knew had a speech impediment of some sort, who at the very least had a lack of confidence in his oratorial skills? I don't know if that's even a word, but his oration, his ability to speak. Why would God choose somebody who didn't have that ability? Surely there should be somebody else that can talk to Pharaoh better and talk to the Hebrew people, because there's going to be a million people he had to convince that you don't have to be a slave. There's something greater for you. So he had to go do this. Why would God choose somebody with that specific handicap to do that specific thing? And I think it's this: to show God's power in our weakness. To show God's power in our weakness. The Apostle Paul says it this way: my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. There's so many stories over and over in the Scriptures that show God chooses someone with a specific perceived weakness to be the overcomer of that weakness and the deliverer of others. Why? Because it shows God's power in their weakness. Now think about Moses. What if Moses had been the greatest orator that had ever lived? What if Moses could have been on any stage or in any theater in the entire world? What if Moses had a way with words that could make people laugh, make people cry, and inspire them to be something greater than themselves? If that was the case, then people would have said that it was Moses that did it, that Moses manipulated it, that Moses convinced the people to leave and convinced Pharaoh to let them go by his own power. They could say he convinced them with a flourish of words and that God had little or nothing to do with it. So God chose somebody with a weakness in the specific area where God could be the strength for him. Moses had zero proficiency in it, but it showed God's strength and God's power to move the people and to move Pharaoh. So that's the first thing I want to highlight this morning. God's power is made perfect in weakness. So whatever your impediment is, that's the thing God can use to overcome that situation or overcome that for you. You have a built-in excuse for why you should not do the thing God is calling you to do, because I just can't. I have a physical limitation for it. You can't do it because you are not proficient in it. You can't speak well. You get nervous. You're unable to. But God says, no, 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 no. Look here. Because where you're weak, that's the exact area where I'm strong. So let me do it with you. Actually, the scripture says it best. Here's God's response. Exodus 4:11. Then the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. I like the snark in there. Who made man's mouth? Who put that mouth on your face? I did. I tell that to my kids. Who put that mouth on your face? I will take it off, too. Who put that mouth on your face? Who made people deaf, seeing, or blind? I did. Now, don't rely on yourself. Rely on me, because I will be your mouth, and I will teach you what to say. That's what God is saying. God's power is shown in our weakness because we have to rely on God to make it happen. And it doesn't matter what your handicap is. God can use you if you rely on Him. I think maybe there's a couple more things about that that are really important. And the first point will likely be a point in next week's message, because next week's message is the excuse. He said, oh Lord, please send somebody else. That's next week's. We'll talk more about that next week. Please send somebody else. Anybody, not me. But here's what happened, though. Listen. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. So he had four excuses, right? We've gone through all of them. Four. We're on the fourth one now. All these four excuses. And then he goes, send somebody else. And then God's like, I've had enough of you. his anger was kindled against Moses. He said, "Is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know he can speak well. Behold, he's coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, he'll be glad in his heart. You shall speak to him, and you'll put the words in his mouth, and I'll be with your mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you both what to do. He shall speak for you to the people, and he shall be your mouth. But you shall be as God to him, and take in your hand this staff, which is what you shall use to do the signs." God provided Moses with a trusted loved one to translate and communicate what Moses was saying. God used the buddy system, right? Here, there's somebody with you that can understand you, that can translate for you, and you can do this together. You're not meant to do it alone. God provides the right people at the right time to cover where you lack. Let's try an amen at the end of that. God provides the right people at the right time to cover where you lack.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. He does. The problem is that we often get threatened by that person and we don't want somebody to help us. Because he might take over, or he might be more important than me, or she might take the glory, or something else might happen. So we don't trust them. But God provides the right people at the right time to cover where you lack. Let people help you. Let people who have strengths in a different area that you, and let them apply their strength so you don't have a glaring weakness. Your weakness can be their strength. Your weakness can be their strength. And so you just lean on that. I really don't enjoy the mundane details of spreadsheets and financial stats. Honestly, a lot of it I might not even understand. When I was a youth pastor years ago, we'd take mission trips and we'd go to camps and such. We'd do fundraisers and all the kids would have their own little account and they would raise money for their account so they could go and reduce the cost of the trip by how much labor they put in. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's pretty common. Well, one year I really screwed up tracking that stuff. Like, I blew it. And I had to rely on the parents to clean up the mess. Like, how much did your kid owe? I don't even know anymore. Like, just figure it out. So the next year when it came around, a loving mom who is like a professor of math at Wright State University, she's like, "How about I take care of this for you? how about I track this for you?" And I'm like, "Yes, please, because I'm terrible at it. It's a weakness for me." Now, I've since learned how to do it better now, and I was treasurer of the Hillview Elementary PTA for one horrible year. I hated it. Every second of that job, it was the worst ever. But God provides the right people at the right time to cover where you lack. In the story about Moses raising his hands during the battle against the Amalekites, as long as his arms were in the air, they were winning. But as soon as they got heavy and he dropped them, they started losing. So when Moses' arms got kabed, that's when somebody would, his weakness was exposed as they got tired. That's when somebody would come and prop him up and be the strength for where he needed strength, where he was weak. God provided people on both sides of him to hold up his arms. People propped up Moses. They propped him up on a foundation of stone. Look, God's power is made perfect in weakness, and God provides the right people at the right time to cover where you lack. Now you might have to seek these people out. Like, if you got a specific area, like, "Man, I'm not good at this," maybe you need to go find somebody who is, and you don't have somebody right there. You might need to seek somebody out. You might have to swallow some pride and ask them, "Will you help me with this? Because I don't know what I'm doing here." The third thing I want to tell you about this: God's strength is made perfect in weakness. God provides the right people at the right time to cover where you lack. And then this last one is all on you. Overcoming your limitation is still up to you. Overcoming your impediment, the thing that holds you back, is still up to you. You still have to be involved. You still have to overcome. You still have to take steps and just go for it. You still have to get rid of the excuses that keep you from going there. You still have to realize your limitation is just an obstacle in front of you, and it's keeping you from living your life to the fullest. You have to realize that your limitation is an obstacle in front of you, and overcoming that obstacle is still up to you. What if Moses had decided to stay by the burning bush? What if like Moses was like, you know what? I've given you enough excuses, God. I'm clearly not going to do this thing. Let's just stay here and enjoy this burning bush. At least it's nice and warm. Let's just stay here. What if he had done that? Do you think Aaron would have tracked all the way out to the wilderness to find him? Give Moses a pep talk. Come on, Moses. You got it in ya. You can do this. Come on, buddy. We need you over here. Do you think he would have done that? I don't think so. It was up to Moses to get up and go meet Aaron. He had to go. What if Moses had decided that his speech impediment was an obstacle he could not overcome, and he decided to hunker down with the Midianites and live out his remaining days in relative peace and quiet? I guarantee you we would not be talking about Moses today if that had been the case. We would be talking about somebody else. God would have chosen somebody else to do it. Somebody else would have led the Hebrews out of bondage, but it wouldn't have been Moses. I don't know what your limitation is. I don't know what you think it is that is your impediment that's holding you back. I don't know whether it's speech or whatever you claim it is, but it's up to you to overcome that thing. It might be financial. It might be physical. It might be time. It might be relational. You probably have something that you think is keeping you from serving God the way you would otherwise like to, and it's up to you to overcome it. Nobody's going to do it for you. You have to be the one. God will provide somebody at the right time and the right place to help you with it, but you have to overcome it. God will turn your weakness into a strength, but you have to take the step to do it. Think about what Moses did. Moses got creative with it. No, when he went on to talk to Pharaoh, he used multimedia presentations. Bam, my staff is now a snake. Bam, let's turn water into blood. Bam, flies everywhere. Hail, darkness. You know, it was a multimedia approach. He didn't just use speech. He got creative with it. He had his brother help. Aaron helped him along the way. He was not alone the whole time. But here's what for sure Moses did. He never gave up. He never gave up. He kept pursuing. He believed in the mission, and he never stopped. So what's the thing for you that you would rather not have that's keeping you from doing the thing you would rather do? May not be that speech impediment, but what is the thing that just feels like a wall? I just cannot scale this wall. What if you thought of it as a hurdle? A hurdle is something you jump over and you overcome the hurdles in your life. Hurdle over those limitations. Overcome them so that God's strength is now completed in you. Who is your Aaron? Who is the person that can give you a boost and help you get over the hurdle so that you can springboard over your limitations, your impediments, to become the great thing that God has destined you to become? And God will provide you with the right person at the right time when you recognize your weakness is His strength and you take a step to overcome it. Let's pray. God, we put ourselves at your mercy because we often feel like we don't have what it takes. We feel like we lack in too many ways, that we don't have enough. And we recognize also that Moses thought the same thing. And so we thank you that we're not alone in that. And there's greatness in the Bible amongst the people who recognized finally their weakness and took steps to overcome it, allowing you to be their strength. And so, God, we submit ourselves to that same plan. We recognize we can name our weakness, and then we turn it over to you so it can be your strength. Lord, we ask that you provide us with Aarons. Show us who those people are. May we seek them out if we need to, ask them to help us if we need to, but may you provide those people for us so that we're not doing this alone. We're not stuck in this limitation, this huge wall that's in front of us, but rather we got somebody that's going to help us hurdle those limitations, those impediments. Give us the confidence, the mind that is appropriate to be able to do these things, to become the people you want us to become. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.